Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You appreciate the game so much more, and you're so much thankful for your opportunity to be on the field, to go to work. You have a bit of a different mentality. You know, you don't complain about as much. You don't, you see the brighter side of things a lot more once you've been through what I've been through. So I love every day. I loved it from the start, but I love it even more now.
It's J.J. Watt. That was him on Tuesday this week, meeting with the media. The big question that J.J. was asked, and I think is on everybody's mind, and may have been partially answered over these last couple days in these practices with the San Francisco 49ers, is can you be the old J.J.?
I'm just focused on today. And now that today's practice is over, I'm focused on tomorrow. I know what expectations I have for myself. But the only thing I can try, man, any way I answer that question, I'm screwed. I mean, you want me to say, but yeah, it's going to be incredible. Then you're setting insane expectations. I say, no, I think I'm going to suck. I mean, that doesn't bode too well for myself either. So there's really no good way to answer that question. So, I mean, I'm literally focused. I control what I can control. Through all my injuries, that's probably the biggest thing I've learned is control what you can control. And all I can control is today, workouts, practice, meetings, and then tomorrow I'll be able to control that.
Here's the thing. As good as he feels, he doesn't know the answer yet. Like, he hasn't been out there in a real football game. I know they did some things. You know, you're practicing against somebody other than the people you've been practicing against for the first 2 weeks of training camp. And so you get a little bit of an indicator. And all indications these last couple of days are the possession arrow has pointed to some semblance right of the old J.J. Watt being there. But I don't think, my guess is he doesn't even know right now what the answer to that question is.
Well, I think when you, and he probably doesn't view it the way we viewed it, but when you were playing at a level that dude was playing at a couple years ago.
Yeah, best in the game.
I mean, one of the best I've ever seen.
Right.
You know, as far as literally affecting, I mean, maybe since Reggie White back in the day, as far as consistently affecting the game from a D-line position.
Yeah.
Consistently, not an end sack and everything. Consistently. Run game, pass game, everything. You know, when you take that into consideration, you go, I don't know if he'd stayed healthy the whole time if he'd be as good as he once was. He's got a high ceiling. He's obviously special, but to think he can get back to that level, good gosh, that's a stretch.
It would be amazing.
Unbelievable, right?
Like Tiger winning a major again.
Right.
Well, and it'd be kind of found money in a way for the Texans, because I if you polled people anonymously, my guess is that a very probably small minority of the people expect J.J. Watt to be 2014, 2015 Watt
right,
again.
Yeah.
Just based on the fact that basically his whole body has been put back together via surgery over the last 2 to 3 years. So if he's back at the level, like if he's back at close to the level that he was at when he first started breaking down in 2015 at the end of the year, I think it's going to exceed the expectations of what a lot of people have. And if you add that to a hopefully healthy Clowney and a hopefully healthy Whitney Mercilus.
That's the key, because in those 3 years where he was winning those Defensive Player of the Year trophies, I don't think he had the talent around him he has now.
He was
on this defense.
Man.
There's a better supporting cast on defense around him. He was pretty much the lone barometer on that defense that determined whether or not they dominated. I don't think that's the case anymore, so I don't think there's as much pressure on J.J. as there was earlier in his career, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with you to it from a standpoint of he didn't have as much help. So the path back to being close to what you once were is going to be significantly easier, assuming Reader can stay healthy and Clowney can stay healthy and all these guys behind him can stay healthy. These NFL offenses are going to have their hands full, no doubt about it. So take that into consideration. We're going to see a lot more one-on-one. It's going to be a lot more difficult to double-team him than it once was. He could get back close, but golly, it's so rare. It's almost like the stars had to align from the defensive play caller to what teams were trying to do, the unknown, and what allowed him to be that dang good. I mean, it's hard to think that a guy can sustain that, much less get back to it.
That is a great question. Like, who do you double team? If they trot out there, the front seven, we think they trot out there in week one of the season, you're going to have Watt on one side, Clowney on the other.
I think there's
Merciless
four
out there on one of their sides.
Sure. I think there's four guys who could potentially attract double teams.
Are you adding Reader into the mix as well?
I am.
That's the fourth guy. I'm just wondering.
Absolutely.
That's the fourth guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Reader, I feel like you double team him just out of like sort of the conventional 3-4 thing, is you always double the nose guy in that situation. But if we're talking about the three real dynamic guys, and I'm not saying Reader's not dynamic. He's dynamic for a guy his size. But the other three guys are obviously, when healthy, Pro Bowl level talents, if not all pro level talents. I think
pick your poison.
In week one, you probably double JJ to start off with, just based on what we've seen so far in training camp.
Well, I think situational is going to be, obviously, if it's a third and five or six, you're Clowney, you better be chipping or doubling or sliding to Clowney in a hurry. But I think the key to this cog is Reader. If you're in a 3-4 and you're a center in today's game, which there's a lot of them are smaller, if a center can handle your nose one-on-one, then, hell, you might as well get out of 3-4.
Yeah,
you might as well throw it in. It's done.
I don't think most centers can handle it.
I agree with you. So I think the one that's going to get more attention is Reader. I think he's the one that's where it starts. And if he can demand that double team, one of those guards, whichever way he's shading, that guard has to come down and double, at least for a split second to the second level, then that's going to free up one of the three guys that can cause trouble. One of them is only going to catch one, and that guy's got to make plays.
And let's throw in a safety blitz once in a while.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
From a Tyrann Mathieu or a Kareem Jackson.
Yeah.
You talk about, the one that's sitting in a beautiful situation right now is RC, right? The D coordinator.
Oh, Romeo. Rack, yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot of tools.
He's sitting back there going, boy, this is going to be fun calling plays this year.
Dude, third Good down for gosh. This team is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Could you imagine the games you can play with Clowney, Watt, Honey Badger, the linebackers that they got.
They
Good
blitz
gosh.
McKinney a lot on third down. Like, there's not a single guy in that front seven. Like, even Covington was starting to do things last year when he got hurt in that Seattle game. He was starting to make some plays. I'm not saying he's as dynamic as these other guys, but there wasn't. When they were at their healthiest, each of those guys last year, they were all playing at a level where you've got to pay attention to all of them out there, including Zach Cunningham.
I was fixing to say, Cunningham's as good as there is sideline to sideline.
Yeah.
I mean, he's as good as there is. They're going to be a handful for offensive coordinators. You better be an experienced quarterback, an experienced play caller, and you better be sound in what you're doing when you come up against this Texans football team, because they're going to be able to throw the kitchen sink at you.
And they're going to be able to throw experience at you. I'm glad you brought up experience, because these are all guys who have now been playing in Romeo's defense. Mm-hmm. You know, other than Honey Badger, who's new, other than Zach Cunningham, who's in his second year, the guys who we're listing as the marquee guys in this defense, you know, JJ's been here the whole time. Whitney's been here the whole time. Clowney's been here the whole time. Reader's been here this is his third year now in that defense. His first year as a rookie, he was playing under Vince Wilfork, who was probably giving him the treatment that Jarvis Landry is expected to give Antonio Callaway
in
terms of him under your wing. So, yeah, a lot of these are not a bunch of guys who are, you know, wet behind the ears in this defense now.
And Rack likes to be aggressive.
He does.
Rack likes to send them, which I can't wait to see.
They should. I'm telling you, man, anytime you can make a quarterback think post-snap, I cannot wrap my head around defense coordinators at any level that sit there in one coverage. When I started, which are very few, but against the Giants, I knew they were going to give you a cover two look, and post-snap they were going to stay there, or they were going to roll to cover three every time. Every time I knew what they were going to do in key situations. And that gave me the ability to play, which means a lot, right? So, I mean, if you make guys think after the snap, I don't know if it's zero, I don't know if it's one, I don't know if it's three, I don't know if it's core, I don't know who's coming from where, where's the pressure coming from. You're going to beat 99% of quarterbacks out there before you ever get to halftime because of that. Make them think.
Yeah, well, and that's the one thing we've learned, you know, over the last few years with Romeo's defense. The one thing he loves to do is disguise.
Yep.
And make it look like something is going to happen and have it be something entirely different that's happening. And you look at the list of quarterbacks this team is going to play this year, it ain't exactly murderer's row.
Right.
The only games I think that you could argue that the Texans are losing the quarterback battle going into the game in terms of just talent and productivity, obviously week one will give the edge to Tom Brady over Deshaun Watson. Week 16, you know, Carson Wentz and Deshaun, I think, are going to be two of the names that are going to carry that position into the next decade. And after that, like, I got to wait and see what Andrew Luck is before I say that you're losing the quarterback battle to the Indianapolis Colts.
It's been labeled by some the easiest schedule in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't
know.
That
may be going a little far,
yeah,
but it's not considered murderer's row.
The problem with this team historically has always been that good quarterbacks have always shredded their regardless of who the DC's been. This goes back to the Kubiak days in 2012 when it was a team we think, hey, this could be a team that wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They start out 5-0. You haven't played Aaron Rodgers yet. Oh, here you go. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
Six touchdowns.
He throws six touchdown passes on you in week six.
Well,
you've
got to have a signal caller that can answer the bell. I mean, I'm not saying that your signal caller has to be Aaron Rodgers, but there's going to be three or four games. There's going to be a couple in the playoffs, and definitely when you get a late run, if you get to the point where it's a late run in the playoffs, your guy's got to be a playmaker. And I don't know that the Texans have ever had that.
They've never had this.
Right.
That's for sure.
They've never really – I mean, who that's played for the Texans – since they started, would you go into a 4 or 5 game run late in the season and even into the playoffs and you say, I'm going to hang my hat on this dude right here to make plays against whoever.
Nobody, right?
I'll go back to it again. I beat the dead horse. I've seen Deshaun Watson go for over 900 yards against the best defense I've ever seen in college football twice.
Yeah.
Not once, but twice. There's no doubt that dude, when the stage is big and the opponent is the best, you're going to get a difference maker.
He feeds off that.
You're going to get a difference maker.
Yeah.
And so you get there. Now it's a different story, man. You get there, and I think you've got a guy that can potentially put up a comparable game to a Tom Brady or to an Aaron Rodgers.
He did last year.
Every time he takes the field, he can possibly do that. It's not just a fluke if he does it one time.
And he was down in that second game against Alabama late, and he acted like he was conducting a training camp practice.
Beautiful.
Talk about the demeanor you're looking for in a situation like that.
Beautiful. Rare.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.